2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Now, this teaching will be a teaching that will lead to several teachings as we get into the year. It's the beginning of a series that I titled The Revelation of God. Hallelujah. The series will start now and will continue for a while. Hallelujah.
The revelation of God.
It's just like understanding
the gospel that we usually have within the year, once in every 2 years or 3 years.
Understanding the gospel, you know, it sets for us a major direction on what we look at for those amount of months. The same way, this series on revelation of God, it's an eye-opener where we'll begin to discuss the person of God in the light of salvation, in the light of Christ.
Hallelujah. So, we'll answer major questions as the year goes by as regards who is God. Questions like, what is the wrath of God? Questions like, God in the Old Testament and God in the New Testament, is there any difference? Do you understand me? So, questions like that will answer. Do you understand me? Then the some people say, God in the New Testament, God in the New Testament repented. Have you ever heard someone say something like that? And God repented. No. How? So you go into years.
I know that. Not five, not six, more than 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 15 years. As long as our ministry is, we keep discussing the person of God. Hallelujah. Because the study of scripture is theology. So we cannot stop learning about who God is. Hallelujah. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. Paul to Timothy. Paul will say it. Be diligent. I'll start from verse 14. I like to start from verse 14. He said, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about word to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Now said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now that word to God should be by God. Hallelujah. Approved to God. He said, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. He said, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Now he says here that verse 15 is our focus. He said, be diligent. Old King James, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. He said, a worker that need not to be ashamed. He said, rightly dividing the words of truth. Now, Paul tells a pastor. Timothy is a pastor. This is a pastoral letter. And I believe all of us that are here are pastors and leaders. And those who are not leaders, I believe that when we sit here, next year, we will start handling responsibility in ministry. That is spiritual growth. A believer who doesn't handle responsibility in ministry is a believer who is not growing. Hallelujah. So spiritual growth is you grow to handle responsibility. Hallelujah. So Paul writes to a pastor and he tells a pastor, study to show thyself approved. Now that word study, or what we call have the word diligent, is the Greek word spoudazo. Spoudazo. It means to be earnest. It means to be diligent. A word he will still use in chapter 4 verse 9. He tells him, be diligent to come to me quickly. Verse 21, do your optimum to come before winter. This is that do your optimum. That's the word diligence. Do your optimum to come before winter. He says, Obulus greets you, as well as students, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Hallelujah. A word also you find by Paul to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 2. It says, to speak evil of no one, but be peaceful, gentle, showing humility to all men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Hebrews 4:11, the writer of Hebrews uses it. Hebrews 4:11. He said, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let us therefore be diligent That is the word diligent. Let us therefore be diligent. In 2 Peter 1:10, 2 Peter 1:10, Peter uses the word diligent. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stop good. That is Peter. In verses 15, he mentions it again. He says, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you are always that you always have a reminder of these things after my disease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To ensure. You have it also in chapter 3, verse 14 of 2 Peter. He said, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. That's the word diligent. You also have it in Galatians 2:10. Galatians 2:10. See, they desire only that we should remember the poor and the things, and this very thing I was eager. That's the word eager to do. That would also in Ephesians 4:3. Ephesians 4:3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of this faith, endeavoring in the bond of faith. That is the word spodazo. And also in 1 Thessalonians 2:17. It says, but we brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, in the present, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face, endeavor more eagerly. Now, when that word spodazo is used from what we've seen, it shows one's effort, one's eagerness to do something. One's effort, one's eagerness to do something or doing something. Are you following me? It shows one's effort, one's eagerness to do something or doing something. So, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study. That's what spodazo has been saying. It shows our eagerness to say, to show thyself. That word show thyself is in the Greek paristeni. P-A-R-I-S-T-E-N-I. P-A-R-I-S-T-E-N-I. A compound word of para and histamine. Para and histamine. Histamine. Now, the word para, as we know, is the word to be alongside, to be beside. Are you hearing me? That's the word para, to be beside. Just like we have. I've always, whenever I call para, what comes to mind, what I say next will be the word parabole, right? Parabole, beside, which is the word used for parable, para, beside. Bole, we will have the word balo, hallelujah, to show beside. So therefore, when you hear the word parastemia or paristemia, is a compound word of para, to be beside or alongside. And the word histamine. Histamine is the word that means or that implies to stand. Or to establish, to stand or to establish. So when you bring in the compound word together, paristemi, what you have is to cause to stand alongside. Paristemi means to cause to stand alongside, to cause to establish alongside, to cause to stand alongside. It is used for how a fact or how facts are presented in such a way that it cannot be annulled. How facts are presented in such a way that it cannot be annulled or disputed. It is used for how a scientist presents facts in such a way that it cannot be faulted. You know, when a scientist is coming to present facts, his thesis, he presents it in such a way that, you know, when you are given room to criticize, it will be optimally impossible for you to criticize it. You understand? It should be optimally impossible for you to criticize. Hallelujah. Just the same way, you know, when a scientist is, those who are science students, you guys have laws, several laws, testing, right? The one that I know very well is law of thermodynamics. You know, that law has been in existence for years. Right?
And we are looking at the anthropology. Hallelujah. I'm not going to Africa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Law of thermodynamics. That law has been in existence for years. Up until now, we are still waiting for. Who will dispute it? Right? It's left up until now undisputed. Hallelujah. I don't know if Kobe would dispute it.
But, you know, I know some things like that. Glory to God. Please, mind my word. It doesn't mean that it cannot be disputed. But, you know, it's not whether it can be disputed or not. The use of this word, of the word parastemi, is the way you present it
so that, you know, it cannot be disputed. That means you've done your fact findings. You've looked at every local, every gray area is amended. You have questions. You have answers to every question that will be asked alongside. Do you understand me? So, when that word parastemi is used to show thyself, it means you've done due diligence. Are you hearing me? You've done due diligence. You don't have big truth.
Are you following me? So, when it says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself. Meaning, he's telling him facts that you will present will be facts that will be what?
Ultimately impossible for anyone to annul. So that means you must do all your checks right.
Hallelujah. So that's what pastor means. A word you find in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 3. Let's watch to Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 3. Verse 3, it says, talking about Jesus. I'll start from verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment to his apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself. That's the word presented. He presented himself after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Showed himself by many infallible proofs. Being seen by them during the 40 days. That is the word infallible proof. Undisputed. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Presented himself with many infallible proofs. Undisputed. Are you following me? Paul makes us see that a teacher of the gospel must be thorough. That is what it means. It tells Timothy to be thorough. Thorough in presenting Bible truth. He must not be lazy or present Bible truth anyhow. See, let me tell you something. When it comes to teaching, when it comes to presenting Bible truth or teaching those you are discipling, don't do it anyhow. You see, in itself, that process of you getting prepared to teach in itself is service. That time when you go through the scriptures, you look at it, never look for quick fix. Some people are just looking for quick fix. And he said, amen. What is it you are going through? Looking for punchline. God has said, no. A teacher of the gospel. We'll get to see shortly that even presenting Bible truth is called labor. Are you hearing me? It's called labor. I'm getting prepared for. I'm going through my notes and getting prepared for meeting. I was saying it before we started that I couldn't even finish note that I'm going to teach for hours. Finally, let me sit down and recopy something. It's labor. Hallelujah. It's labor. You don't just put things anyhow. Don't worry, later they won't answer. No. Before I get to talk, I was sharing with the pastor how I study. And I said, before what I come to teach, before I even teach about it, like notes that I will yet teach in months to come. I take my time. So first of all, meditate on that note. Before I even write it, I have meditated on how I'm going to say it, what I'm going to say. So in the point of meditation, I'm writing. I'm not going to read my notes, I'm writing. Then I'll now start studying. I am studying. Not, you don't live in a gray area. You don't do that. Hallelujah. Don't do that. So Paul tells Timothy you shouldn't be lazy in presenting Bible truth. Rather, he must give himself
in presenting Bible truth.
Did you see that?
What's this story? Feed yourself.
Presenting Bible truth.
Correctly, without gray areas. There shouldn't be gray areas when you teach.
Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Most times if I'm teaching and somebody asks me question, want to ask because I'll tell you, wait till the end. Wait and listen to the end, because I'm rest assured that whatever question you want to ask, you'll find the answer before the end. Except you are not listening. Hallelujah. Because whatever thing that I come to teach, whatever things I will teach, we've done thorough study on it. Most times it's because we listen to the best. Hallelujah. We listen to someone that has taught it thoroughly, and then we teach it thoroughly. Are you following me?
Very important.
Hallelujah. It tells a pastor to be diligent, to show himself, to present Bible truth. Hallelujah. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I mean chapter 2.
Sorry to show thyself approved to God.
Right? Not to God now, but by God. Hallelujah. As one approved by God. Now say a worker. Did you see that? That is the word ergates, laborer. Hallelujah. A worker, a laborer. So a pastor or one who presents Bible truth, a teacher of the gospel, is a laborer. It's called labor. From when you have the word labor, egon, to labor, to toil. A teacher of the gospel is a toiler. Are you following me? Is it what? Is a toiler. Say rightly dividing.
That's another word we'll look at. A worker that needs not to be ashamed. He say rightly dividing the words of truth.
That's the word. Ototomio legonaletia.
Ototomio legonaletia. Rightly dividing the words of truth. Now that's the word ototomio.
O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. Ototomio. A word that implies to make a straight cut. That is the word also to me. To make a straight cut. To dissect. To expound correctly. To make a straight cut. To dissect. Expound correctly. It is used for how a surgeon.
You know a surgeon? How a surgeon carries out surgical operation. Carefully. A surgeon.
And what's the difference between what a surgeon does and what a butcher does or Baba Shukura does? Who is Baba Shukura? Elero. Hallelujah. No word. Whenever I see butcher, every butcher that I see is called Baba Shukura for me.
Hallelujah. What is the difference between what they do? They are a whole lot of difference. But in terms of cutting, hallelujah. In terms of cutting, what's the difference? One cuts carefully. Another one does dissect. Well, all in his mind is pieces this meat to 50-50 the other side. I mean, that is a butcher. But a surgeon takes his time. Hallelujah. He cuts straight. It's called, that word was told to me, means straight cuts. Are you following me? Straight cuts. Careful cutting. Hallelujah. Careful cutting.
Or to cut through. Cut straight. What Paul makes us see is that a teacher of the gospel, in presenting Bible truth, must present it carefully, right? Cutting through scripture to present the truth. That if I say cutting through scripture, it means you will go through scriptures. Are you following me? You will go through scriptures. Jesus did similar thing
in Luke 24. See if I Okay, Jesus would do similar thing. What did he do?
The Bible says in Luke 24. Verse 25. It says,
Whole food full of water, believe in all the prophets that say, all the Christ is somebody to have to his glory, begin that Moses and all the prophets has gathered unto them in all the scripture that concerning himself. He used the word expand. That is the word diaminio. Diaminio. It means to go through. To go through in order to explain. So Jesus went through scriptures to explain. To explain the event. The event of the resurrection. He went through the scriptures to explain the event of the resurrection. Hallelujah. So in the diaminio, you will also, an undertone from the word diaminio, you will have language. So Jesus will explain the language of the prophet. You understand? He will explain the language of the prophet.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's come back. So Paul tells Timothy to be careful in going through scriptures.
Hallelujah. So be careful in explaining scriptures. That even when you talk about careful, you have to go through it in the right order. Hallelujah. Then in chapter 3 of that same 2 Timothy, he now tells him,
in verse 15, he went on to tell Timothy in verse 15, that the message of the scripture is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He told him that. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:15. See, and from childhood you've known, and from childhood you've known the Holy Scripture which are able to make you wise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Meaning, what the scripture will point to will be salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That will be the conclusion of scriptures. Hallelujah. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So that salvation through faith in Christ Jesus will be practiced in the ecclesia, right? Right? And the ecclesia will lead us to the word mission. Let that represent. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, let's continue. Leave that. Glory to God. So when he uses the word from a child, you've known the Holy Scripture. The word scripture is the word grammar. Grammar.
Hebrew's grammar. Holy Scriptures. Grammar. Grammar implies the content of the writing.
The content of the writing. Hallelujah. The content of the writing. The message of the writing. This implies that the content of what the writings of the Old Testament referencing Genesis to Malachi in context will be pointing to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the content of what the prophets will write about will point you, will point us to salvation in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? That would be the summary when you put together all the roads concerning. It will point your heart, it will point your mind to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the reason why. Okay, let me not jump my gun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Paul repeats that in Romans 1, from verse 1 to 4. I wanted to jump.
I was following my notes. I trust my notes. Hallelujah. Romans 1. Are you with me?
Yes, yes.
Romans 1, from verse 1 to 4. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now look at what he calls the gospel of God. It says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God by declare the Son of God with power by according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in verse 2, Paul says that what the prophet will speak will be what?
Will be recorded as scripture. I mean, what the prophet will speak, which will be recorded as scripture, will be salvation spoken of as a promise.
He said, which he promised before through the prophet in the Holy Scriptures.
Hallelujah.
So they will speak of salvation as a promise. As a promise. What does it mean? What is the meaning of the, what is the word promise?
Promise in the Greek is the word that implies a commitment to fulfill a task. Empagilia. A commitment to fulfill a task. Where the promisor is the sole fulfiller of the promise or of what is promised, and the other party does nothing but received what was promised. That is, his role or her role is to believe in the promise of the promisor. I'll take it again.
The word promise in the Greek is the word that implies a commitment to fulfill a task, where the promisor is the sole fulfiller of the promise, and the other party does nothing but receive what was promised. That is, his or her role is to believe in the promise of the promisor.
I am. So, the promise is the promisor that does everything. Do you see that? He does everything. Your own role is just to believe. You don't need to put in an effort. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So, God's promise. What did God promise? What he will do? Hallelujah. Are you following me?
What will he do? Save man. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm. Glory to God. Mm. So let's move ahead. In verse 4, Enan says, this will be possible. He says, declare the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He said, this will be possible by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah.
Possible by the resurrection from the dead. So what this shows us is that what the writers of scripture wrote of
will be salvation in Christ, possible by the resurrection from the dead.
Did you see that? Salvation in Christ, possible by the resurrection from the dead. See, you can now see that we are taking it off from where we stopped, like in understanding the gospel, right? Glory to God. Salvation in Christ, possible by the resurrection from the dead.
Paul also supports this explanation also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Quickly, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3. Are you there? Verses 3.
Shoot. If you sleep, you draw Mickey Mouse to continue.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 3.
It says, for I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So, Paul tells us, you won't go to Genesis and Malachi and see where this place is quoted, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. No. This will be the summary of Genesis to Malachi together. We read together. This will be what it concludes on. This will be what it
this will be the conclusion of what Genesis to Malachi speaks of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember Jesus was said to them in John chapter 5 verse 39, he said, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, these are they which testify of me, but you would not come to the conclusion of the scriptures concerning me. Hallelujah. When the scriptures will conclude in Christ. And Paul said that conclusion will be what? His death and what? Resurrection.
Hallelujah. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when he says, the scripture speaks of Christ's death, listen, and resurrection, right? His death will be inclusive of his incarnation. The debt, for yet debt, it will include the incarnation. Hallelujah. So, very important.
So, what Paul is writing to us is that salvation is not possible except by the resurrection from the dead. Right? Is that what we've seen? Right? Is that what we've seen? Salvation is possible by the resurrection from the dead. So what this implies is that
though the message of God's salvation, where do we read it from now? Where did we read this message of God's salvation from now? From Genesis to Malachi. Are you seeing that? Where did we read it from? Genesis to Malachi. Who bore witness of it? The prophets. Are you seeing that? So though the message of God's salvation was available from Genesis to Malachi into the four gospels. It was available from Genesis to Malachi into the four gospels. We're going to see that. Why I said into the four gospels. It will be ministered as a promise, as what God Himself would do. Did you see that? Genesis to Malachi into the four Gospels. Because in the four Gospels, Jesus will speak of His resurrection. Hallelujah. As what He will do. Hallelujah. Are you following me? In that day, you will know. Speaking of it, hallelujah. So he speaks of a future event as an event that an event that is already taking place, but it will be a promise. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when will it be possible? It will be possible at the resurrection. Are you following that?
So Jesus will speak of the message of God's salvation in Christ Jesus will be found as a promise in the Old Testament into the synoptics. It will be a promise of what God will do. Hallelujah. But it will only be possible by the resurrection. So that means within the Old Testament books, please permit me, within the Old Testament books, Genesis to Malachi, we would not find anyone who was saved. Are you following me? You don't find anyone who received salvation, because salvation was not possible. Are you following me?
Amen. Amen. We've already drawn Mickey Mouse. Glory to God.
Amen. Don't worry, you can't see, you wake up, we'll continue.
Amen. So it will only be possible at the resurrection. So it's in the resurrection that salvation is possible. So can we say the people, the elders or the patriarchs in the Old Testament were never saved? They were never saved. They never received salvation. It was not possible. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Abraham did. David did. Hallelujah.
The writer of Hebrews helps us see that in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Is it Hebrews 10? No. Okay. The author of Hebrews, we see what I'm talking about. Hebrews 10. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 36. We're going to do quite a number of studies this afternoon. And I hope that we'll be done on time before it gets dark. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Put your hands in Habakkuk chapter 2. Quickly. Put one hand in Habakkuk 2. If you don't know what Habakkuk 2 is, because of the urgency of what we're doing, go to your table of contents and you will see Habakkuk fast.
Habakkuk 2. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 36. It says, therefore, okay, let's look at let's look at Habakkuk 2, 4. Habakkuk 2, 3. So that then we'll look at it from Hebrews 10. Let's see what the writer of Hebrews is explaining to us. Habakkuk 2. Hallelujah. Verse 3. It says, for the vision is yet to an appointed time. Listen, say the vision is yet to an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Did you see that? Can you see that? Habakkuk 2, 3 into 4. Can you see that? So when you hear the vision is on appointed time. Vision 2021. Vision 2020 has come and Corona has spoiled it for several people. Vision 2021. I'm talking about Vision 2050 now. Glory to God. It's well. Amen. So write the vision down. Have you not heard people say that? Write the vision now. Put it plain. Where do you want to be in the next 5 years? Where do you want to be in the next 5 years? Somebody's not like, in the next 5 years, I want to be a brand manager. Hallelujah. I want to be head of marketing. Glory to God. You can't do that when it comes to the gospel. Hallelujah. So what is your vision? What's your vision for Santos? We're coming back in January. Amen. Light over darkness. Victory over
me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your vision?
I want to be driving a car. Bible says write the vision down. Look, that's not the kind of vision he wants to write down.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know,
by the Spirit of God, and
you know, the Spirit of God wants me to pass across this right now. We know that we would learn to be more careful in the coming year. We'll learn to be more careful in the coming year as regards strength. To be more careful as regards strength. That impression is so strong in my heart right now. Be careful as regards strength. What everybody is doing doesn't mean that is what God is laying in your heart to do. Especially within your location. People are doing it that you can't find, you can't find scriptures that explains what they do. As regards ministry, you will and should be careful. You should be careful. Don't follow such kind of trends. The fact that several people are doing it doesn't mean the Spirit of God that is inspiring. So be careful of such kind of trend. You say, well, you just stay with what you have. Stay with what you've been learning. Stay with what you've been learning. Just stay with what you've been learning. And be focused on it. Be focused on it. Because at the end, it will be victory.
Mm-hmm.
It will be light over darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It will be light over darkness. At the end, it will be light over darkness. But stay with it. Don't adulterate winning of souls. Don't adulterate it. Stay with it. Don't adulterate the things of the Spirit. Stay with it. Though it looks as if that is the new trend of doing it. But you know, stay with what the Spirit has put. We'll have you do part time and explain it right before Scripture. Stay with it. God doesn't work with trends. He doesn't work with innovations. He doesn't move with emotions. Hallelujah. His words is his words is his words. Hallelujah. So we stay with it. Hallelujah.
I just had that impression to talk about that. Let's continue. So talks about the vision. Now in chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews comes in again. And verse 36. I'll start from 35. He said, therefore, do not cast your confidence, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For if you have need of endurance, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, did you see that? Yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Look at Habakkuk. He is now quoting Habakkuk. He is explaining Habakkuk. Hallelujah. And he says what Habakkuk is writing about in verse 36 is concerning the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, after I've done the will of God, verse 36, you may receive the promise. What's all this now? You may receive the promise. So he tells you what Habakkuk is writing about is concerning the promise, not vision. The vision is the promise. So he reads Habakkuk and he says, for yet a little while. Did you see that? A second. Okay. He said, yet a little while, and he who is coming will come. That is Habakkuk is reading. And will not tarry. This is what Habakkuk called the vision. So meaning the vision in Habakkuk will be what? A person. Did you see that? The vision in Habakkuk, the Habakkuk wrote about a vision, will be what? A person. Are you see that? If the writer of Hebrews calls it he who is coming will come. He said he will not tarry. Is that Habakkuk?
Yes.
Now the just shall live by faith. Did you see that?
Yes.
The just shall live by faith. What is the faith here? The faith in Habakkuk 2:4. When he said the just shall live by his faith, or the just shall live by faith, that faith there will be what? Faith in the vision. What is the vision? The person of Christ. So that will be faith in God's faithfulness. That will be faith in the person of Christ. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
the just shall live by faith. So the just shall live by faith in the vision. Did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says he who draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He who draws back will be the man he addresses in he. Habakkuk 2:4 has to be proud. Do you see that? Has to be proud. That is unbelief. He tells you this is unbelief. Hallelujah. It's unbelief. Unbelief. And so the one who draws back will be unbelief. Are you following? Unbelief where? Unbelief in the Old Testament. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Yes,
hey, who draws back? He says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So when he says that, he expects you to have read Hebrews 3 from verse 7 to 19. Do you understand? He's ready to have read from Hebrews 3. Look at Hebrews 3 quickly. So you know the one who draws back. It says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Verse 7. As in rebellion. I'm in verse 8 now. In the day of trial and the wilderness, when your father tested me and tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I'm angry with that generation. I said they always go astray in their hearts and have not known my way. So I swore in my wrath that they will not enter my rest. 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart in rebellion. Did you see that? 19.
we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. He who draws back
is what? Unbelief. Are you following me?
Where is he explaining from? He's explaining the Old Testament.
Right? He's explaining Genesis towards Malachi. Hallelujah. And he said, faith in the Old Testament will be faith in the vision, which is the person of Christ. Are you following me? So he now says, those who do not believe in that vision, they say they are proud. Right? They are the ones who draw back. Are you following that?
Then that gets to chapter 11. Remember I said you don't read it in chapters, right? Right? Chapters is for reference. So, we're in chapter 10, verse 39. For we are not of those. Verse 39. See, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Did you see that? Who draw back to perdition. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things. Now, that word now is not in the original. Just say, who believe to the saving of the soul. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's now explaining that faith. Did you see that? The faith, the just shall live by faith. Now, say, the faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah.
I remember a teaching on has profession of faith. We'll have that teaching this year. Profession of faith.
Hallelujah.
Again, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Profession of faith. Let me say, there are two definitions of faith. Faith is the substance of things so far. It is the evidence of things. It is the title deed of seeing reality.
So true. Hallelujah. Title deed of seeing realities.
So where is your faith? Where is your faith? And I remember we now took it one step further. I'm not sure you guys are joining me today. I'm not sure your pastor are joining me today. Or maybe I'm still being followed up on some of them. I said something like this one time. I said, I took it one step further. Hallelujah. Just sweet man that is going around here. Okay, continue. Hallelujah. Just keep awake. Stand
still, right? Hallelujah. Keep standing, immovable, always abounding.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I took it one step further and I said that faith is a convert. You not have yet. Maybe you guys, you are not writing with notes that faith is a converter. That converts spiritual realities to physical realities. If you want a house, want to buy a car. Hallelujah. I say that's the level of those spiritual blessings in the heavens. So your car is in the heavens. So you convert it. Your faith is your converter.
Converter, call inverter need.
Forget that. Hallelujah. What Paul, I call Paul now, what the writer of Hebrew is saying is that he's telling you, remember, don't change what the narrative of what he was explaining. Listen, what he's doing is that he's using the events of the Old Testament or what the writer of the Old Testament is writing or have written to explain to the unbelieving. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Are you following me? Now he's converted. He's just like evangelism, trying to persuade
those who are unbelieving. So he tells them, hallelujah, faith in the Old Testament. Now writing to the Jews, that is why you call fathers. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Elders, writing to the Jews. So he's trying to, he's giving them a bait. A bait now. He's persuading them, not a bait. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So he now tells them, see, in the Old Testament, he's drawing reference, say, in the Old Testament, which is Genesis to Malachi, you would know those who believe by their faith in the vision. So those who do not believe that vision,
which is the person of Christ, is unbelief. Are you following that? And now tell them, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What did you think is still defining? Is defining faith in that dispensation. Do you see that? Is faith in the Old Testament, they say, is the substance of things hoped for. That is what they hope for. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He said, the evidence of things not seen.
Quickly. So, faith in the Old Testament will be a substance of things hoped for. Showing that faith in the Old Testament will be a hope for what another will do. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing that? We use the word substance of things hoped for. In the background will be what another would do.
Hallelujah. We'll get to explore that as in the coming
in the coming days. Hallelujah. Coming days might be tomorrow. Amen.
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 That word substance. Hallelujah. Showing our faith in the Old Testament will be a hope for what Christ will do, what another will do. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So when he said faith in the Old Testament will be what? Hope. Hope for. Remember, how did we get here? We're talking about the gospel was ministered as a promise. So, promise of what? Of what God will do, right? So, faith in that dispensation will be what? Hope for that thing to come, what Christ will do. So, they had that hope for what Christ will do. So, they've heard a message that this is what God will do in Christ. Hallelujah. So, they believe it. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Hallelujah. But remember it to be possible by the resurrection. So in verses 13 of Hebrews 11, now says all these. Now he goes in from verse 3 to start calling the hall of fame of faith. We had Abel. Do you understand me? I love what the man of God called it. Calls it the hall of fame of faith. Like that. Hallelujah. Calls the elders. He said, by it the elders obtained a good report. Who are you? Are you an elder? Where is your report?
The elders obtained a good report. The elders was referring to, because he was writing to the Jews. I mean, because at this point he was speaking to the Jewish people in the congregation. Hallelujah. So he tells, when he calls fathers or elders, their mind will go back to what the person. Are you following me? So he said, by it, he obtained a good report. Hallelujah.
So, we saw that then verse 13 and said, all these died in faith. Would that be hoping what the Messiah would do? Right? All these died in hope of what the Messiah would do. Not having received the promises. Did they receive the promise?
No.
They didn't receive the promise. Hallelujah. That word is not promises, but promise. Hallelujah. For having seen them afar off. So they died without receiving the promise. I want you to see that. Having seen them afar off, we are assured of them and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hallelujah. So they saw afar off
of what will happen. And they said they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Are you following me? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I want you to get that right. They all died without receiving the promise. So, what will be the promise? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So, when they did not receive the promise, that means they died without being saved. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
But was the message of salvation available? Yes. Did they believe in it? Yes. Were they saved? No. Why? Because salvation will be possible by the resurrection.
Are you seeing that? God, that is why it's a promise by the resurrection. So all those who believe from Genesis to Malachi in God's promise of salvation in Christ Jesus all died without receiving the promise. He repeats that in verses 39. Look at verse 39. He said, all this, having obtained good reports, good testimony, true faith
did not receive the promise. Hallelujah. Verse 40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Hallelujah. So they did not receive the promise when they were alive. Hallelujah. When they were alive, they all died without receiving the promise. But verse 40 is striking. It says that they should not be perfect, made perfect apart from us. So that means in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The writer of Hebrews makes us see that they can only receive it in the resurrection, which was not possible. Hallelujah. So they cannot be made, how should I put it now? They can't be made perfect apart from us. Now, when you use the word apart from us, meaning they can't be made perfect without the resurrection, because we are born of the resurrection. Are you seeing that? So, in chapter 12, verse 23. Let's go to verse 23. In the resurrection, the writer of Hebrews makes us see that in verse 23. As our verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to their general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men now made perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in the resurrection, it says, this is where we've come to. Hallelujah. And now calls the just men. Who are just men? The just. When you hear just men, your mind goes to chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. And who are the just? He now lifted them out in chapter 11. He now said, we have come to the spirit of just men. Now, the Greek put it like this: the just men now made perfect. How are they made perfect? By the resurrection. So they received salvation when Christ resurrected. Are you there again? Hallelujah. Remember, salvation can never be possible without the resurrection. So when Christ resurrected, their belief in Christ made them receive salvation. Are you following me? Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Are you following that? Glory to God. Okay. What this shows us is that the message of God's salvation in Christ Jesus was available in the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, but was not possible, that is, none within that dispensation could receive it, because Christ was not yet risen from the dead. So salvation is made possible because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So since the resurrection is a major fact of the gospel upon which salvation is possible. That means that resurrection. Okay, let me read this. That implies that since the resurrection is the fact of the gospel, the incarnation is also a fact of the gospel. Going to see that shortly. Since the resurrection is a fact of the gospel, the incarnation is. Look at that, Romans 1:4, verses 3. This is verse 2, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scripture concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, incarnation. Did you see that? And declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection. Did you see that? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. In the book of Acts, all their message is about Christ.
You look at Acts 2. They will talk about the incarnation and speak about the resurrection. Right? Right? So the incarnation and the resurrection. Acts 13. Paul will do the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right? You see facts about the incarnation. We'll see that shortly. Hallelujah. And we will find it in the words of the prophet too. We'll find it in the words of the prophet that the prophet will speak about the incarnation and the resurrection. Hallelujah. The resurrection will then authenticate the incarnation. We'll get to see all this shortly. The resurrection will then authenticate the incarnation. And the incarnation, there will be no resurrection without the incarnation. Hallelujah. I said and repeat it again. The resurrection will authenticate the incarnation, and there will be no resurrection without the incarnation. I will see that shortly. Let's see what Jesus said concerning the utterances and the writings of the prophets. We've looked at John 5:39. So you search the scripture, for example, you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testifies of me, but you would not come to me, right? So Jesus says the prophetic scriptures testify, concludes on him. You see that? The prophetic scripture, which is Genesis to Malachi, concludes on him. Are you following me? So Jesus says it concludes on him. So it have its conclusion in the on the person of Christ. In verses 45 to 47, it says, if you believed Moses, it says, sorry, verse 45. It says, do not think that I accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. He said, if you believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he wrote concerning me. Hallelujah. But if you have not believed Moses, how would you believe my words? Hallelujah. So Moses will write concerning him. And what will we write concerning him? We write concerning his death. I mean, or put it like this, his incarnation and his resurrection. Because in his incarnation, he died. Hallelujah. And his resurrection. So, at the resurrection, Jesus will now expound this narrative. Jesus will now expound this narrative in the resurrection. Are you following me?
We just passed an hour mark. We're still going. Just passed 1:09 to go. Let's continue.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus will expound this narrative in Luke 24:25-27. But I'll be very fast. That will cover it.
Don't mind. Once it gets that, we stop.
Hallelujah. Luke 24:25-27. Jesus said to them, O fools that slow about to believe in all the covenant has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Hallelujah. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So he said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. So Jesus shows us that what the prophet will speak of will be what he's suffering. The shorthand for the word incarnation, right? And it's entering into glory. Hallelujah. So the suffering will be the shorthand for his incarnation, which includes his death and burial. And his entering into glory will be what? His resurrection. Death and burial will be concerning his incarnation. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So what Jesus made us see is that a prophet in the Old Testament to be known majorly by what he said concerning Christ's incarnation and resurrection.
A prophet to be known majorly by what he said concerning Christ's incarnation and resurrection. So put it this way, prophets in the scriptures are false teachers. You hear me? Prophets in the scriptures are false teachers. That's what Jesus said. He said, he spoke concerning me. Hallelujah. So they are forced that they will call of all teach the oracles of God. So a prophet in scripture is not known by what he wore, or by what he ate, or by what he said concerning there's 7 people here. 2 of you have VBS, 2 of you don't have 4. No.
The magicians in Egypt will do similar. Hallelujah. Someone possessed of demons will do similar. But a prophet first is known majorly by what he said concerning Christ. So a prophet in scripture is first a teacher. Are you hearing me? It's first a teacher. Okay. So, like what we've seen in Romans, a prophet will speak concerning his incarnation, verse 3, right? One of the seed of David, right? Right? Authenticated by his resurrection from the dead, verse 4. So therefore, we will say there cannot be a resurrection without the incarnation. You can't have resurrection. Do you see that? You can't have resurrection. Because he will not just fall from heaven and just go straight to the cross. He just says, bam, or your cross, bam.
Or your die, bam. Or your resurrection, bam. Or your God, bam. There cannot be a resurrection without the incarnation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And the incarnation can only be validated by the resurrection. Why did we say so? He will be known by the resurrection. So, if he has died and did not resurrect, he is not the Christ. Are you hearing me? He is not the Christ. So that resurrection is important. So that is what validates that incarnation. You see, he is the Christ. Oh, he's the Christ. Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of a guy from Africa, from Nigeria, that said he is the Christ. And he said he was going to die and resurrect. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he died, and today, just waiting for his resurrection.
Oh, glory to God. So anybody could just claim, anybody can claim that he is, listen, anybody can claim that he is the Messiah.
I believe anybody can claim he is the Messiah that is born, but the Messiah will be known, or that incarnation will be known by the word, or will be validated by the resurrection from the dead. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And he resurrected. Amen.
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 So the resurrection now becomes the crux of the gospel. The crux of the gospel. So the when we get to discuss on understanding the gospel in the year 2021, I told us I will be discussing on what? The power of the gospel, right? We'll discuss on the power of the gospel. And then we'll narrow down to look at
some fact about the incarnation. We just need to know about the incarnation. Hallelujah. That's some fact about the incarnation. And those facts about the incarnation now becomes fact of the gospel. Hallelujah.
God will be there. So let's watch out for that. That will be coming up maybe around. We only have that around May-June. Hallelujah. We have that. Glory to God. So, where are we? Let's see. I said the resurrection is the crux of the gospel, right? So let's see Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 10. Castle, you don't know what is crux? Hallelujah. You know I didn't call your name. I say Castle. But you represent Castle here. Hallelujah. So you better uphold your alma mater. Mm-mm. Hallelujah. Let's see Peter. First Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. See, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them. Now, do I say who was in them? Somebody has come to meet me before, one of my funny friends, and said, very stupid
statement. He says, in front of my dad, listen to my message. I'm not telling you that listening, that go on our website and listen to the message.
Now, he went and when we were not talking, he now said, again, I shared what he said, but he shared to this point. And I told him that I'm becoming an antichrist. My word touched him so well. He called my sister, I'm not an antichrist. Just want you to know, I'm not an antichrist. I said, no. Your message is the message of the antichrist. He said, no. He said, okay, just tell me my message.
Okay, what's the message of the
can I rest? He didn't want me to rest. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He said, he has a revelation. And I'm always very careful when somebody comes to tell me I have a revelation. I know that he wants to throw a bomb. That bomb. You will need a whole lot of stamina to carry it. Whether he felt to that same guy in the university, my university guy, that we just throw anything. I usually hear him like that when I was saying these things in school. What were you doing? You like to argue scriptures. You arguing with me. Now you are coming. You are not learning. You catch me at the wrong side of my mouth. Hallelujah. So, enough of them saying, he has a revelation. I want to know this. He says, do you know that in the Old Testament, they have the Holy Ghost in them? Like, how do you say that? It's scripture. I'm teaching, I'm telling you scripture. Holy Ghost is this thing. That's how. Holy comes and goes. You need by the rest of
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So, he told me that. Jesus, he now took me and said, oh, yeah, teach me from scriptures. Do not teach me anywhere. He did not have collaborative evidence. Just to be open to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. I say, read on. I know where you want to quote. It says, said the Spirit of Christ. Oh, I'm trying to remember what he was talking about. What about Christ? That you know that Christ has always been in the earth, has always been living in man. See, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. He was in them. See, the prophet had the Spirit of God, they had the Holy Ghost. See, Christ was in them. He was saying something about, there's a difference, okay, yeah. He was saying something about, there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ.
Interesting.
That's why I call him the Antichrist. See, there's the Holy Ghost that came after Christ. But the Spirit of Christ has been in the earth. That's been living in man. I say wonderful. This is important. This is rhema. I've not seen this kind in my life. This theology is not going to be zoology. I'm serious. I say, Oga, Antichrist will be you. And you know, since that day, he has not called me again. Because they usually calls me. Sometimes, you send me Kenny Higgins videos. Mr. Kenny Higgins will do Holy Ghost with his sister. You know, he was getting my attention till he now gave me the crux of his message. I said, wow, this is real rhema. He says the Holy Ghost is different from the Spirit of Christ. I said, interesting. Scripture, this alone. And I said, wait, before you jump into unnecessary nonsense, show me another scripture. I said, no, that is just it. That when Jesus was to leave, he said, I will go send you another comforter. That is different from him because he is already in heaven. Did you see the message?
I told him before you go further, that word another comforter is the Greek word Aios Parakletos. When that word another is used in scripture, there are two words, Aios and Heteros. Heteros means different from. Aios, you are started telling me.
Now see, when you get to this today, you say the spirit of Christ which was in them is not the spirit of Christ which was inside them. Talking about. And we now went back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember, we did one study last time, last 2 years, on understanding the gospel. And we said, where is the spirit in the Old Testament? Abi? Right? Did you remember?
Yes.
Can we look at the spirit of the Old Testament? I also told you to go and listen to that message.
Because you can look at the spirit. And where will you find the spirit? In their words. I say that. Where will you find the spirit? In their words. Are you following me? And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it tells what the spirit of God does. Where? In all the years. What does it do? Canvases. Right? Right? So you will find in the message preached. In the message preached. I said, that is where the spirit of God will be found. So when I say the Spirit of God, I say, what which was in them? You listen to what he said. You have to read pre-text, post-text, and read where. What is referring to the Spirit of Christ which was in their message? Not indwelling them. Hallelujah. So, most times,
when you get to see things like this, read where. Hallelujah. When it says Spirit of God which was in them, it is a translator's bias. Are you following me? So the in them will be what in their message. Read through, read pretext and poster, read everything together. You wouldn't be in that mess. Just going down, reading down, you just see it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. You see it from verse 12 into verse 13 to verse 14. So they have not called me since then. I'm waiting for his call.
And I pray he don't call me. Hallelujah. Well, nobody wants you to call them Antichrist when they are saying nonsense.
But they are. Antichrist is not a person but a message. Hallelujah. So, look at what he says. He says, verse 11, searching what manner of time the spirit which was in them. In them will be in their message, right? Was indicating when he testified. Did you see that? Beforehand, the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. So, Peter says that the prophet will speak of his suffering, shorthand for his incarnation, and the glories that will follow. I love how he put it, glories that will follow. That's what those are though, that will follow, will be the resurrection. Hallelujah. That is, the resurrection will be what? The indwelling of the Spirit, right? Hallelujah. That will be the glory that will follow. Paul in 1 Corinthians. Now look at what he says. Look at what I've said. It will be what? The resurrection will be the indwelling of the Spirit. I'm coming there. Just put it in a bracket. So Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12.
That's you. Oh my man,
I'm just going through my notes. I'm saying that it's tickling. Hallelujah. Chapter 15, right? Verse 12. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? Verse 13, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your preaching is empty and your faith is empty. And we have found false witness of God, because we've testified that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Hallelujah. But if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Hallelujah. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most pitiable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul uses, makes use of that word resurrection, makes us see that resurrection is the main fact of our salvation. He puts it in such a way that you know. Amen. In such a way that you know that the resurrection is not an event. He uses the word, if Christ has not arisen. Arisen. So if he tells you, if he has said, if Christ has not risen from the dead, like in the past, right? For this is a Greek word, egirio. Egirio. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
A word that is used for a present continuous tense. It's just like saying Christ rose and is still rising, or he rose, arisen, and is still rising. That is how he uses the verb, making us see that the resurrection is not past. God makes us see. Hallelujah. If Christ has not arisen, that word egirio is used for a present continuous. Hallelujah.
Something that is still is not just past. No, not past. Something that is still ongoing. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So the way Paul uses it is not for an event. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Though it involves an event. But it is an event that every believer is a product of and lives in its reality. And I uses it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it's not past. The resurrection is not past. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He warns about those who say the resurrection is past. He said the resurrection is not past. Hallelujah. It's not a past event. No, it's not an event that has passed. He uses it as an event to be something that is still ongoing. Where the believer lives in. Hallelujah. The believer is a partaker of it and is still partaking of it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. And that is why I said the writers of the Old Testament will not write about the resurrection. Where will he pick the narrative from? He will not pick it. He will pick it from the Old Testament. But they will not write about the resurrection as an end. No. They write it as the beginning of what looks like an end. You know, it looks as if the resurrection has ended, or it has arisen. It has said no. They write it to be the beginning of what looks like an end. So that is why when they write about the resurrection, they write about the forgiveness of sins. They write about the work in the resurrection. That is the work in Christ. Or how should I put it? The work in the Spirit. They write about the work in the Spirit. Where will that flow from? It will flow from the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the resurrection, the way the prophets will write about it, the way the writers of scripture write about it, will now write it as to be, or write it at the beginning of what looks like a climax, but not a climax. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ezekiel will say, I will pour clean water on you and you shall be clean. You write again, say, I will put my spirit within you. That's the resurrection. And I will curse you. Did you see that? The resurrection. I'll cause you to walk. So there's now a walk in that resurrection. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So the resurrection is not the end. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning of what looks like an end. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So in writing this, Paul makes you see that it is possible by the incarnation. Look at verses 3. So that's 1 Corinthians 15. Is that where we were? Hallelujah. It says, for I deliver to you first of all that what I've received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this makes you see that another important fact of the gospel is the incarnation, which we also find, as said earlier, is in the message of the prophets, right? Right? We said that before. So the incarnation will include everything that happened from his birth to his burial. They are all facts of the gospel. Everything that happened. Hallelujah. Everything that happened will be fact of it. Let's see how the writer of Hebrews speaks concerning the incarnation.
concerning the incarnation, Hebrews chapter 1. See, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, and in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. Now he said, God, who at sundry times, that is the word polumeros. Polumeros implies many portions. That is, many parts. Hallelujah. Polumeros. God was sundry time. This implies that the prophet spoke in many parts of the same truth. In different... Are you following me? Spoke in many parts of the same truth. At different times. Now, another word we find there is the word diverse manners. Polutropos. It means, implies many ways. You show that the prophet at different points and in different place spoke a portion of the truth. We find him speak a portion of the truth. Verse 2 now said, and in these last days. Now when he uses the word last days, it doesn't mean end of the world, like some people think. End of the world. No. Rather, most times when used in scriptures, the word last days refers to fulfillment. Remember I told you, most times when you see the word last days, it means what? At last, right? At last. Last days. This last days. Meaning the fulfillment of the things. Implies fulfillment. Here it implies fulfillment in context. So when it says in this last days, it refers to what? To fulfillment of verses 1 in context. When you're looking at it in context. So, when it says in the last days, in context will be what? Referencing the words of the prophet fulfilled. Hallelujah. So he says, and in this last days spoken, meaning in the fulfillment of the words of the prophet, he has spoken in his Son. Did you see that? Whom he has made heir of all things. All things comes into question again. All. That is the word path. All.
It's the word that was read in context for proper Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And to avoid misunderstanding by this, you must read it in context. That word all. That is the Greek word path. P-A-S. Path.
For example, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 37. Are you there? Romans 8, 37. It says, and in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For here in all these things, it should be read in the context. And the context will be what? Verses 31 to 39. Did you see that? I have to read in context. 31 to 39, you know what he was referring to here in all these things. Hallelujah. Also, Philippians 4:13. When it says, I can do all things. You can't quote that thing today. You know, some people carelessly use that word. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things. What is that target that's giving you in your office? I can do all things. You have the capacity to do all targets.
I said, you're not giving your target. Come and chop target. You know that.
I cannot do this kind of target too. Hallelujah. They've not given you a target. We that work in a target driven market. Hallelujah. I work in a target driven market. A bankers. Our target. When you see your target in a year, you tell yourself, Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There was a time I calculated all what I have done in the year, and I saw that in the year, I gave out loan facilities close to 200 and something million naira. Now did a mathematical analysis, comparative analysis of how much hit my account as salary.
Look at my life outside. Hallelujah. Look at my life outside. Glory to God. And yet, I didn't do 100% of the church I need. What did he say? No. Because you do not jump target.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I remember the first time when I was working in my first institution. I was given, at first I was hitting my target. I say disburse 14 loans. Just go and disburse anyhow 14 loans. Just 15 loans. And I moved to SME. But then they say do 3 million. I say this one is nothing. Do 7 million, nothing. I just, end of month like this, started another month, I just saw that get 18 million. Ah! My heart beat. I said, Jesus.
18 million. Hallelujah. 18 million there. That was 2014. 18 million.
Even if my father retires and joins back the military and retires again.
How am I going to get 18 million in Lagos? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm cooking food for some people who don't have money.
Glory to God. Let that dishonor sleep. Glory to God.
What you don't do, just be quiet and walk by the Spirit and don't have strange fire.
Glory to God. Be focused on your focus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So all should be read in context. Don't go and read all. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things, bro. Carry gone. It's gone, not all things. Yes, yes, sir. Yeah? Money gospel makes you full of people. Makes you full of people. I can do all things. Can do all things. You can do all things. I am reading. You read
mathematics. You are reading mathematics. You say, I can do all things. And you are laughing at somebody who read welding. You want to do welding? You say, you can do all things. Try it. And see if you will not die.
Just as simple as that. You will die. It's not a joke. I'm telling you the gospel truth. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Oh, you are done. Okay, yes, it's possible. There's a course that is for everybody. Once you want to be a thief, you can go and read. Even if you don't read the course, once you're a thief, you can do it. Glory to God. Yeah. I don't want to steal money. Just say I'm a politician. You don't need any degree for it.
But someone who read political science cannot say he wants to become, he wants to do welding. How?
Where your ministry can end up in
is just to become
Santos Glover. It's not a prophecy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the same thing, all in Hebrews 1:2 must be read in context. All these side distractions you guys are doing, you guys are giving Femi work.
But he's smiling because he can do all things. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. So in the same vein, all in Hebrews 1:2 should be read in context. Whom he has made heir of all things.
Heir of all things is not heir of everything.
Because some people are just so careless.
Saying Jesus is the heir of everything. He's the heir of everything. Everything in the world is the heir. He's the heir of Shango Tuan. Just as Jesus is in everything. How can he say he's in everything? It's a careless statement to make. Hallelujah. God is in everything. Are you okay? Because I
God is in everything. No, you can't make such statements. Those are careless statements to make.
Are you hearing me? Don't make careless statements. Like, the thing that God cannot do does not exist. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So, when you make such kind of statements, you must have to look at it in context. Right?
Let's go ahead and make useless statements.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those things have been trending. And some people are putting it on their status. Ask yourself, is your pastor putting it? You don't make careless statements. Hallelujah. These are careless statements to me. So in the same vein, all in Hebrews 1:2 was raised in context. And what is the context of the all? In all the words of the prophet. Has made him heir of all the words of the prophet. Meaning all the words of the prophet find their fulfillment in the incarnation, the person of Christ. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. To find their fulfillment in the incarnation of Christ. So he called the incarnation the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. Peter will say something similar to in 2 Peter 1:16. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of God and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from an excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So in verse 16, when he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, he said, we were eyewitness of his majesty. The eyewitness of his majesty speaks of the four gospels, the incarnation. Did you see that? Eyewitness speaks of the four gospels, the incarnation. So, let's continue. Verse 18, and we heard his voice, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him in the holy mountain. Is that incarnation? Yes. Verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Watch that. We have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing for that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Quickly, in verse 19, when he said we have a sure word of prophecy. That's what O. King James said. That is the word propheticon
That is the word that implies prophecy confirmed.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Prophecy confirmed. Propheticon bibaos. What Peter writes is that they saw prophecy confirmed in the incarnation. Prophecy confirmed in the incarnation. So use the word sure word of prophecy. Word there is the word logos, which implies a message. A message. A thought that precedes an action. The prophecies here refers to the words of the prophets, right? Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that earlier, Luke 24, 25, 27, 44 to 47. Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Genesis to Malachi. Acts 3:22. Moses is called a prophet. Moses is called a prophet by Peter. So it includes Peter, it includes Moses. So Moses and all the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses too is a prophet. So he said their word is confirmed, right? They find its fulfillment in the incarnation. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see some things. So we are looking at the incarnation now. Verses 19. So we have a sure more word of prophecy confirmed that you do have to take heed as a light That word light is the word luktos. Luktos. Used for a lamp, a candle, a lamp, a candle. You find it in Luke 15 verse 8. Luke 11 verse 36. A candle light, a lamp. So a lamp. In John 5:35, it is used to describe John. You see, he was the burning and shining lamp. Burning and shining lamp. And you were willing to a time to rejoice in his light. So John was is referred to as a lamp. Lamp. That's the word luktos. Used for a lamp or a candle. A lamp. So we say, take heed as to a light. So that light there is the word lamp. Are you following me? As a lamp that shines. That shines. So let me, before I get to that word shines, when you use the word luknos for a lamp or candle, it shows that the prophets were not the light. Remember, I told us something earlier on. I mean, yesterday, right? That God uses what? Men. Not perfect men, right? Hallelujah. And why are they not perfect? Because they are not the Messiah. Hallelujah. So it shows that the prophets were not the light. Rather, they are light bearers. They are what? Light bearers. You find that in John 1:4. He bore witness of the light. They are light bearers. They are not the light, but they bear witness of the light. So, it says the light that shines. That word shines. Remember, the word light is neutrinos, used for a lamp, right? Now, use the word shine, which is what? Fino. Fino. Phaino. Fino. That word fino means imagine light. It's used for an imagine light. A light that is imagine. Just an imagine light. Use again for John. In John 5:35. Used for John. Say you were willing to remain in his light. I read it again. For he is a burning and a shining lamp. Light, right? That is what Luke knows. And you're willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Final. Imagine light. So what Peter makes us see is the prophets are not the light. Are you following me? Did you miss me somewhere? Where? John 5:35. Hallelujah. The prophets are not the light. They are not the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their prophecy are imagined light. That is what Peter makes us see. They are imagined light, meaning it shows a progression. Remember, we just read the writer of Hebrew says what? There's a progression, right? Right? They spoke portions of truth. Now, Peter writes and says there's a progression, hallelujah, of revelation about the person of Christ. That's what he says. It's an imagine. So when you use an imagine light, it shows a progression. Hallelujah. A progression of revelation about the person of Christ. Or better still, about the person of God. It gets clearer from Genesis to Malachi. So as it goes, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you understand? It gets clearer. Gets clearer. Hallelujah. Genesis, you find it as the seed, right? The seed of the woman. We get to talk about seed. In this year. Hallelujah. You find the seed of the woman. Are you following me? We find him as the seed, and Moses will write it as he finds Abraham, he finds seed, you know, all of them pointing to that seed. Again, it gets clear. It gets to Isaiah.
Sorry, we find the seed of the woman also. Get to Isaiah. He said his name shall be called Emmanuel. See, it's getting clearer. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Isaiah will now write again and say, "For the lamb to be slaughtered." Hallelujah. Write about it.
So, you see, as the prophecy goes on, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. And the, okay, let me not jump the gun. Let's continue. Clear from Genesis to Malachi. And the arrival point is till the day dawn. What is the arrival point? Till the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. That is the arrival point. Hallelujah. That is the arrival point. So it says, as a light that shines in the dark place. Dark places. That word dark places is the Greek word ochmeros. A-U-C-H-M-E-R-O-S. Ochmeros. It has a root word. The root word is R. Or pronounce it E-R. A-E-R. That's the root word, air, which implies to dry up or obscure without light. Did you see that? Obscure. To dry up, obscure without light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So meaning, it wasn't clear, but it's getting clear. That's why I use the word odd. I mean, imagine light. It's getting clearer. Hallelujah. It says till the day dawn. That's the word dawn. That word dawn is the word Daya Ugazu. Daya Ugazu. D-I-A-U-G-A-Z-O. Daya Ugazu. From the compound word of Daya and Daya and Augazu or Ugazu. Put it that way. A-U-G-A-Z-O, the compound of Daya and Ugazu. Now, Daya means to go through. We've seen that, to go through. Ugazu implies to shine forth, to appear, to see clearly. So Daya Ugazu implies to shine through, to break through the dark. Do you see that? To shine through. Remember, he has called a dark place. So, he said, Daya Ugazo means to shine through, to break through the dark. Are you saying that? Hallelujah. So, Peter calls the incarnation day star. Day star. The day star is explained as the day dawn. Hallelujah. What Peter makes us see clearly is that the words of the prophet have their fulfillment in its progression, and it's fulfilled or has a fulfillment in Christ, right? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I put it like this in my notes. Peter makes us see clearly